China's stock market is an exciting place these days, perhaps overly exciting. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The key stock index in Shanghai fell 6.7% today, with Hong Kong down 2.25%. For the catalyst and context, let's bring in Andrew Wood, BBC business reporter in Hong Kong. Morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Andrew, let's first talk about the spark today. It was something about a chunk of some banks being sold.
Well, this is a pseudo-sovereign wealth fund, a bank that has very close ties with the government, selling off some shares in two of the big state-owned banks that have been sort of semi-privatized, have some gigantic IPOs over the past couple of years. Share prices have been doing so well that people were really looking for anything that might sort of spook the market, any sign that there might be a downturn, any sign that people might be losing confidence, and this seems to be it.
Because before the world gets too worked up about a 6% fall in a key index in Shanghai, the context is that CSI index is up, it looks like 128% over the last 12 months, 37% since the new year. Stocks have been running quite hot there.
They have, and it's not necessarily driven by, you know, what people call fundamentals, whether businesses are actually doing better. At the moment, there's a big problem with what's called margin trading, this idea that you can see the stock market's going up, so why not borrow some money, buy a whole load of shares and so on, wait for the shares to go up in value, sell the shares, pay back the loan, and you keep the difference. The government, the regulators have been tightening the regulations on this. At one point, it looked like there were more than $300 billion worth of borrowing. And of course, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy after a while. The more the market goes up, the more people want to borrow money because the market is going up and it can get horribly out of control. It's great when markets are going up, but if markets go down, people are going to lose far more money than they would if they just put their savings into it and not borrowed in the first place.
Yes, I will refer our listeners to the 1929 stock market crash here in the United States. Andrew Wood, BBC business reporter based in Hong Kong. Andrew, thank you.
Thanks.
A possible merger and a confirmed deal, both in the tech industry and both of note. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that computer chip maker Avago Technologies is close to buying a competitor, Broadcom, for about $35 billion. These are the sorts of companies that make the innards for all these devices we have to charge at night. Also, there's news that Facebook has bought a virtual reality company that lets people hang out digitally in real-world environments. Surreal Vision is a startup just 8 months old. It'll be folded into the virtual reality goggle maker Oculus VR, which Facebook already owns. Terms of the deal not revealed. Some of you will hear our next story and say, ugh, are you kidding me? Others will say, why didn't I think of that? If, in fact, the law of supply and demand rules, how come we don't pay extra for a reservation at a hot restaurant? Well, several companies and many restaurants are figuring this out, as Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson reports.
The Eddy is a tiny place. There's only 30 seats in its Manhattan dining room. It's the kind of place where they manage to make tater tots feel fancy, wrapped in bacon and topped with English pea puree. And its reservations tend to book up.
Thank you for calling the Eddy. We're located.
On a recent Thursday, I called looking for a table for two on a Saturday night. All they had was 6:45. But when I opened up an app called Resy, there was a table for two at 8:30. The catch? The reservation cost $10.
Maybe we'll see $4 or $5 of that.
Jason Soloway owns the Eddy. He joined Resy to see if it brings in new customers and new revenue. He sets aside a table or two at peak hours for them to sell.
But the risk is we have to hold that table for them up until, you know, usually it's 6 o'clock, the day of the reservation.
And if it doesn't sell, then he scrambles to fill the table or lose money. But Resy's not the only app selling reservations at the Eddy. Unbeknownst to Jason, it's also on Shout, which is a marketplace for lots of different things, including reservations. I open the app on my phone and show Jason a booking someone made at the Eddy that they're now selling on the app. It's one of many at lots of different restaurants from the same seller.
So this is a business for
Jason hops up and pulls up the reservation in his booking system. And he just sort of stares at it.
I need to do more research, but my instant reaction is I don't like it at all. I know how much work it takes to put every dish out on the plate and do it well and have the food right.
It's entirely peer-to-peer.
That's Zachariah Ritano, one of Shout's founders. He says some users are just looking to sell a reservation they made but now can't use. Others?
People sort of, the power sellers see themselves as personal concierges.
The same way powerful execs might have their assistants book reservations for them for a few bucks, so can you. Zachariah says if restaurants don't want to be on the platform, they won't take them off, but they'll let users know that they're going against the restaurant's wishes. And they'll ban buyers who no-show.
Because we really don't want to facilitate new types of exchange that hurt other people's businesses.
Zachariah says there's a market here. People are willing to pay for these reservations. But that booking at the Eddy, it didn't sell. It was canceled just before the time of the reservation. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And to give you a sense of this burgeoning market, we put together an interactive map that has some hot New York restaurants on it and the extra cost of getting a reservation. You can go to marketplace.org and click on the lead piece, The Risks and Rewards of Selling Dinner Reservations, and you'll see it right there. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.